Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal here at the Radio Alabama studio in Sylacauga, Alabama. On the Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. I'm Robert Holmes. Some of you know me as Bob, a Sylacauga native, a proud veteran, and a community citizen. Today with me is Dr. Michelle Eller. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you're here. For those of you that know Dr. Eller, you know that she is the superintendent of the Sylacauga City Schools, has been here now going into your second year.
I finished 2 years.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes. Good deal. We're going to visit with Dr. Eller and talk about, in the first segment, we're going to talk about, you know, who she is and how she got a path to get to Sylacauga, Alabama. We'll go dig up some stuff about where she grew up and where she went to school and some things like that. And then in the second segment, we'll be back to talk about the values of leadership, what's important, what she sees in terms of purpose for leaders. So let's get started. If you're ready.
I'm ready.
Ready? Okay. So tell us a little bit about Michelle Eller, Dr. Eller, and where it all started and how you got here.
Okay. How far back do you want me to go?
That's as far back as you feel like. When did you start learning and knew that you wanted to get here?
So I spent the bulk of my career in Elmore County as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I felt I was actually called out of the classroom to work at central office. I worked for the central office in Elmore County for a couple of years. And then from there went to Wetumpka High School and was what they call an instructional. I was a instructional consultant / administrative assistant. And that was just a fancy word for assistant principal that didn't have discipline issues, responsibilities. I handled all the curriculum and instruction.
And what was that title again? I got to remember that one.
It was an instructional consultant / administrative assistant.
Okay, assistant principal. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
You got to get through the code, you know.
So. Yes. So I stayed in that role for less than 6 months. And I felt really called that I was supposed to be doing more. I didn't know exactly what, but I knew I was supposed to be doing more, and I was supposed to be making a greater impact than what I was making. And I started praying about where God wanted me, where I needed to be, and if I wasn't supposed to go somewhere, then he would give me a piece about where I currently was.
Okay.
And the doors opened for a curriculum and instruction director position in Eufaula. I had never been to Eufaula.
That's a beautiful spot.
Yes. And so I drove down there. I interviewed for the position. They offered me the position. And so that was my first big jump, was going from Elmore County to Eufaula. I stayed there 3.5 years. I really... learned a lot about leadership in that role. I was able to implement so much with curriculum and instruction. I was able to lead the district through school improvement, roll out STEM, roll out computer mm-hmm. science, career technical education. It was just an amazing
Great.
Experience.
How many years were you there?
3.5. And so from there, I got noticed in certain circles. And one of those being in career tech education, I won several awards while I was there. And so one of the other career tech directors from a neighboring county down in South Alabama had put in for a superintendent position in outside of Mobile in Chickasaw. And he became superintendent. Mm-hmm. And he called me and said, I need you to come. This place is a mess. I need you to come. I need your expertise with curriculum and instruction. You need to come. And I said, I'm not going down to Mobile. all my family's in the Elmore County area. I'm not going to Mobile.
Yeah, but there was a mess that needed straightening
yes,
up.
So, yes. Okay. So, and I said that for a whole month that I wasn't going.
Yeah.
And, I was sitting in church one Sunday. I don't know what the message was. And I just started crying. My husband said, what's the matter? And I said, I really feel like the Lord telling me I'm supposed to go to Chickasaw. And he said, I already knew that.
Yeah. So you knew the right thing to do. It's just you weren't sure it was the right thing yet, but eventually you knew it was the right thing.
So so I went as assistant superintendent. I led them through school improvement, rewrote lots of policies and procedures. That's what I love to do. And led them with curriculum and instruction. They've won several awards even after I left. Well, while I was there, my father has had Parkinson's.
Right.
And so he had gotten to the point where we had to put him on hospice, and my parents were in Eclectic in Elmore County. Mm-hmm. And so I was making a lot of trips home, you know, 4 hours one way to be with my parents. And so I told my superintendent, I said, I've got to get closer home.
Right.
You know, I love it here, and I did. I loved it there. I loved working with him. We were a great team, but I needed to get closer to my parents. And so about that time, a superintendent position opened up in Autauga County. And I said, well, I'll just put my name in the hat. Autauga's right next to Elmore County. It would be close to home. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I was selected as a finalist. All the interviews were telecasted. It was in the newspaper. It was on Facebook. Everybody heard my interview. I was not selected, and that's okay, because God had better plans.
There are always some places where we're non-selects, yes. But you know what? There's a reason. Yes. And you grow from the non-select.
Right. It was a great opportunity. It was a great opportunity for me. And so after that was in October of the year before I was selected here. And in January, I think word had started to get out that Dr. Seegers was going to retire. Mm-hmm. And I had several that reached out to me from the Sylacauga area, several people that I had worked with in other capacities that I didn't even know lived in Sylacauga or had a connection in Sylacauga. And I started getting text messages and emails, and they'd found me on LinkedIn and said, you need to come here.
Sylacauga's open. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. It's going to be open, and you need to come here. And I started praying about it at that point, you know, if that's really where God wanted me to be right. or not.
So a path through the secondary school systems in Alabama, focusing on career tech. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at your bio and the rundown of places you've been. Auburn University of Montgomery, War
yes.
Eagle. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay.
Yes. And then you did some work there, and then got your PhD, not an EdD, but the PhD yes. from Auburn. Tell us about that.
So I have 3 degrees from AUM. Mm-hmm. I went through the teacher education program there, and I went back and received my reading specialist, and then I went back again and received the instructional leader. I did that when I was working in the central office in Elmore County. I never had a desire to be a leader.
We'll come back to that. Yeah. I want you to, I'm writing that one down.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was not, it wasn't
talking,
a goal.
I'm writing it down.
Yes,
okay.
It wasn't a goal. I would still be teaching 11th grade English and theater if someone had not recruited me out of the classroom. And she convinced me right. to go get my instructional leadership, so I did. And then after I got it, I had another colleague that convinced me to go to Auburn and okay. do the EDS and the PhD at Auburn. And so I did.
Good.
And it was a great experience. You're put in a cohort in Auburn, and so you go through the program with the same group of students. Mm-hmm. And so you form a very close bond with that group. It opened up doors. It opened up avenues. We're still close. We talk back and forth. We throw ideas back and forth, educational ideas. And
that's
it
important.
It was a great experience.
Yeah, good. So I've written it down. I never meant to be a leader. We're going to come back to that because, you know, as I look at leadership, I think everybody is a leader.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I've but made you this have point some, several times.
You have you know, some so. People that's their aspiration is to
I
be.
Understand. And, I know.
And
I know.
I just want it to make a difference.
Right. So but we'll come back to that. This is going to be good stuff for the second segment.
Okay.
So as you now are here. And oh, by the way, you're an Alabama native.
Yes.
Grew up down
yes.
in and around Montgomery.
Yes. Okay. I was born in Montgomery and grew up for the first couple of years in Pike Road.
Yeah. Pike Road. I know exactly where that
yes.
is. and probably some other things that we'll come back to. Growing up in Alabama in a great family environment, you've probably will look back and say there's some important things and lessons learned from family. So,
oh, yes.
Okay, we'll get to that. But let's focus for a minute here on the Sylacauga City Schools. And so now you're here. And I'm going to assume, one, because I've read some of the stuff that you've got in your strategic planning documents, that you as a leader are a vision person, setting a vision, and then moving out with a strategy. Could you tell us a little bit about what you see as that vision and strategy for Sylacauga City Schools?
I'm a firm believer in having a vision. You know, they say without a vision, the people perish.
Absolutely. And you get an A on that,
yes,
for sure.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And so when we spent almost an entire year really looking at and analyzing our district, analyzing our strengths, our weaknesses, what we do well, what we want to do well. We actually partnered with Chelsea Strong with Muscadine Marketing to kind of lead us through a rebranding process.
Good.
And through that, we looked at what is one thing that we all aspire, and that is to be excellent. Who doesn't want to be the best? And so our vision is to do everything with excellence.
I saw that.
That's our vision.
Yep.
And that means...
I was pulling that thread because I...
And that means from our academics to our arts to our career technical education to our athletics, everything that we do, it needs to be done to the best of our ability. Right. And so that's what I expect of myself as well, to do everything to the very best of my ability.
So not only setting that for the school system as a vision, but that's your own personal vision to excel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What else you want to tell us about the city school system? We're going to come back and focus on some of the personal values and things in the second segment. But
so with that, we had to look at how can we achieve that? How can we achieve this excellence?
Perfect strategy.
What are some things we need to put in place?
Who are we? What have we got to do? Yes. And how are we going to do it? Got it. Okay.
And what are some things that we already have strengths in? Well, one is that we're a feeder pattern school. And what that means is we have one pre-K through second grade school. Those same students travel to one grades 3 through 5 school. Mm-hmm. Those same students travel through one middle school, and those same students travel through one high school. And because of that, we're able to have strong connections not only with our students, but with our families. And so that's a real positive for our community, is to have those tight-knit relationships. And so we can actually know our students. We can know our families. We can know how to guide and direct them, how to listen to them. And so that's a real strength.
So we might look at that and call it community schooling?
Yes.
All right, good.
So that's one of the strengths we have. The second strength we have is we are a city school system, which means we have a lot of support from our city, from our city council to the business industries here in the city. And so that's also a positive, because we have entities that we can reach out to and say, hey, we want to do this, this, and this. Can you help us with it? And that help is there. You know, I've worked in multiple school systems and even city ones as well, and you won't find the community support like you have here in Sylacauga.
That's an important point. Important.
And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. Yep.
Okay, we're going to wrap up this segment, and Dr. Eller, thank you for sharing that with us. You know, Dr. Eller shared more or less the things that she did, the things, you know, places where she went before coming to Sylacauga, but then focused on the important things that she's doing here with the city school system. Stay with us, and we're going to come back in the second segment, and we're going to talk more personally about leadership. The views of leadership, values, or character attributes that make leading important. And we're going to remember that one question: I never meant to be a leader. We're going to unpack that one. So, hey, stay with us, and we'll be back after the break. Thank you. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. We're here in the Radio Alabama studios in Sylacauga, and we're talking to Dr. Michelle Eller, City Superintendent of Sylacauga City Schools. Again, welcome back to the second segment. I'm glad you stayed.
Thank you.
In the first segment, we talked about the path that Dr. Eller took to get to us here in Sylacauga. In this segment, we're gonna dig more into some personal things and unpack leadership, particularly leadership in the community, leadership in education, or even just leadership in our families. And we're going to talk about values and purpose, and then ultimately where, once we establish that, it takes us down a path, I think, of excellence. And that was one of the values that Dr. Eller, you said, was important to you. Yes. was excellence. Okay. Yes. So I want to go back to this statement. I'm so glad you gave me the thread to pull on this. And you said, I never meant to be a leader, but you are a leader. Yes. You're defined as a leader.
Yes.
You lead today. So tell me just a little bit. I know we talked about it a little in the first segment. I never meant to be a leader, but ...
You know, God always has other plans for us. And I think that I was already a leader and didn't even realize that I was a leader in the classroom. I was a leader in the community. I was a leader at church. You know, I was a leader in multiple facets.
Right.
But I had never aspired to be an administrator. I just knew I was supposed to be in education, and I was supposed to be making a difference for children. And so, you know, I had to be convinced to leave the classroom.
Right.
I said no a couple of times.
I said no several times.
Okay. You know, but, you know, I'll never forget the conversation I had with the person from central office that said, look, Michelle, right now you impact 125 students.
Yep.
In a good year. If you come with me to central office, you have the opportunity to impact thousands.
Right. And that's an important point.
Yes.
And let me put this in here, because some people may be thinking that I'm pushing too hard on this leadership thing, but I believe everybody's a leader.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, yes. Once you embrace it and understand that there's purpose, there's right. reason, there's a why, and then it's important now to lead. Okay,
right.
So
right.
And I'm one of those a very, very much a cheerleader for people who say, I'm a leader. You know, I mean, I've said that before. I'm a leader. Now, the other side of it is I probably learned more about being a good leader when I was a bad leader, because I learned from my mistakes, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But that's all part of it.
Yes.
But it's bad when I see people who are afraid to say, I am a leader. So I'm thank you for putting it on out there, because I think that's so important.
Yes.
To admit. Yes. Because when we admit that we are leading something, then it's important, and we take the steps to mm-hmm. grow as a leader and do the things as a leader
right.
to, one, to serve the people we're leading.
Correct.
As well as the people that we're trying to provide some kind of service or product to, you know, who are mm-hmm. consuming whatever it is we do. So I think leadership is very important. Let me get off my soapbox.
I take that role seriously. I do take it very seriously.
I know you do, and yes. that's one reason I wanted to have this discussion. So you grew up in Alabama on Pike Road.
For a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, moved. I did see that you moved around a good bit, almost
yes.
like a military family.
Yes. Every time we made a move, someone asked, are you military?
Yeah.
And I said, no, my dad worked for a big corporation,
yeah.
and every time he got promoted, we moved, and yeah. he got promoted a lot.
All right. So you've talked about growing up here, and you've talked about family. I'm going to make an assumption that family values that you got are very important to you and what began to grow you.
Yes.
So you want to talk a little bit about that?
So I'll try not to get teary-eyed.
All right. Well, it's okay. I don't have any... We'll get some tissues in here. So
you know, my father passed last yes. year, and so everything I learned with leadership and values, I learned at his example.
Good.
So from strong work ethic to integrity, trust, loyalty, strength, education, even servant leadership.
Right.
All those values that are important to me and that were important to our family, I saw those, lived in and out every day. You know, like I said, my dad got promoted a lot and we moved a lot. Yep. You know, I saw that work ethic. You know, when he, for 19 years, he worked for AB Dick Corporation and he lived and breathed that corporation. We knew where he lived. You know, we mm-hmm. knew how important his job was to him, but we also knew how important we were to him as well.
Right.
You know, so he never made those sacrifices of my position and my job is more important than my family. He did a very good job of balancing that out so that, you know, I've got one brother. And so we always knew that we were important to my dad.
That's great.
And so, you know, with us moving around a lot, we didn't have family around. So we had to rely on the four of us. You know, we would come home in the summers to my grandparents for Christmas and for summer vacations and things of that nature. But for the most part, it was the four of us.
Okay. So these values, you know, in my mind, I tend to call them their core values.
Right.
So if we go to the core
right.
of who Michelle is or who Bob is or whomever, yes. there are certain things at our core that are important. Those are
yes.
our values.
Yes.
Okay. Those are part of our belief system.
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned several values that you aspire to, but if I put you on the spot and said, okay, what are your, you mentioned excellence.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think in threes. What are the three most important core values?
To me would be work ethic.
Work ethic, okay.
Is one. Integrity is the other. And I would have to say servant leadership.
Servant leadership.
I believe that you should model what you expect.
Okay. Servant leadership, that's mm-hmm. That's another whole discussion for one day. We might do this again because I don't want to take away from where we're going here, but servant leadership is very important. And I think in some ways may be misunderstood these days, and we've made it too difficult for people to understand exactly just what servant leadership is, which is
yes.
trying to care for those people that, you know, are in my care.
Yes.
So,
okay. Yes.
So as you look at the core values, when you look in a school system or in an organization, there's certain things that you look for in those people that you entrust the organization with. What do you look for in a leader?
I look for those same core values. I want someone that's going to have the same work ethic that I have,
right.
that is going to be committed to the cause. I look for someone that lives a life of integrity, that does what they say they're going to do and says what they mean.
Right.
And I look for someone that's going to be that servant leader as well, that is going to display those characteristics that a title does not define them.
Right.
And one that takes care of those individuals that have been put in their care. I want someone that says, don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Okay.
And we'll do it.
And we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, I again, not to go down another rabbit trail, but I think integrity is so important these days. And it's easy to just slap the table and go, well, you know, I've got integrity or I expect integrity. That can be a pitfall when, in my mind, when it's just a bumper sticker. But I see so many people who talk about integrity
yes.
these days. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but I'm going, seriously?
Yes.
So integrity has got to be at your core.
Yes.
Okay. And you know, in the Air Force, integrity was one of our three core values. And it was because we had a problem with integrity in the Air Force, and we had to admit it in that there had been some training records and maintenance records that had not been totally done with integrity.
Right.
And ultimately, not only is that not fair to the nation, but it costs lives. So
right.
we began to make that a core belief within the Air Force, mm-hmm. that integrity was going to be at the top of everything we did. Now, the reason I guess I was saying that, you know, So much of the time, if a person says they believe in integrity, well, then that means that the eyes are watching. If you mess anything up, or, you know, then there are going to be times where you've got to look with integrity at what you're doing, and understanding that, yeah, that there's sometimes you may, come off center a little bit, whether it's integrity or excellence or whatever, but these core values still bring you back to center.
Correct.
And that's the important thing to remember.
And I don't think it's something you can teach.
I think it's
something that's developed from within.
I agree.
And so you can teach a skill set.
Right.
You can teach the components of a job
exactly.
that needs to take place.
Exactly.
But if you don't have those three elements, you know, I don't think you're going to make the impact that you need to make.
Right. And that's an important point. You can teach technical stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you can teach it. But when it comes to values, I mean, I've been in situations where people say, well, teach me about, well, I think I can tell you about integrity, I can tell you about excellence, but until it becomes part of your fiber,
right?
Then, you know, it's not going to, anything that we say or anything I go say, read, or I can give you cute quotes of the day, if you don't embrace this, you know, then it's not necessarily going to make
right.
a difference for you.
Right.
It's not going to be in your...
Right.
In your moral checking account.
And I've had to make several key hires since I've been here, and that's exactly what I've looked for
yeah.
in those key hires.
Good deal.
And that's what I've asked. And those are some of the things I've looked for when I've, you know, talked with references to ensure that is the case.
Sure. So last question here. And I think we've gone around the edges of this. Life purpose. And I'm going to ask you to go beyond being an educator. Go beyond
yes.
life purpose. What is it?
I think it's to make a difference. Okay. I think you have to leave wherever you've been placed, you have to leave it better than when you arrived.
Absolutely.
And that's always been my aspiration, is to leave somewhere better than when I got there. And I think, you know, we've all been called to a purpose, you know, all of us.
Everybody
and
is.
I think it's up to us to figure out what that purpose is and then live in it daily.
Right. Good deal. So that is to make a difference.
It's to make a difference.
Good.
And right now it's making a difference in the lives of children.
Sure.
You know, we have 2,100 kids, and I tell my staff all the time, we're responsible for each one of those students.
Yep.
We're responsible for their education.
And accountable.
Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to
yeah.
make sure we've done what we need to do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I really am. Not because I felt like it needed to be said, but in my early 70s, education, I was taught about accountability, particularly in education. And a point mm-hmm. that was made to me was that as a teacher, you are accountable. Everybody has the gift of learning. They have a
right.
gift to be able to learn something. So if you're a teacher, it's your responsibility not to grade their stuff, not to do a checkbook. Your responsibility is to teach them something.
Correct.
And you're accountable to do that as mm-hmm. a teacher. That was in the 70s, and that always stuck with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't go into education as a profession, I was so glad for that lesson. Because it was something that I learned that then carried me into my military career is
right.
that you're accountable.
And right.
and I'm you know, so as an educator, I really appreciate your saying that.
I take yep. the success and the failure
yep.
of our students
yep.
100% to heart.
All right. Well, good on you. Thank you.
We hope it's all success.
It is success. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us here on the Bull Gap Journal. We've talked to Dr. Michelle Eller, who's the superintendent of Sylacauga City Schools. And Michelle, again, thank you for joining and visiting with us today letting me riddle you with these questions.
Well, I was honored to be here today.
No, the honor is definitely mine. Thank you. So, again, join us on the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. If you want to know more about the Bull Gap Journal, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap.